I like that chorus, call upon the name of the Lord. Let's all just call upon the name of the Lord. The reason we're having this missions conference is because 3.3 billion people in the world don't have an adequate gospel witness. Did you get that? 3.3 billion people in this world do not have an adequate gospel witness. It's estimated that 2 billion people in the world wouldn't know His name to call upon Him. Now, we sing the song this morning, but there are 2 billion people in this world that do not know the name of the Lord to call upon it. That's a problem, amen? That's a problem. Missions is not a program of the church. The church is part of the program of missions. You understand that? Missions is not part of what we do. We are part of what missions has done. You're here because of missions. This church is here because of missions. It's not just one of the things, or one of the spokes in the wheel, as they say. We are one of the spokes in God's wheel. And God is about reaching the world and reconciling the world unto Himself. So our church and our lives are just part of what God is doing around the world. There is a gap. There is a gap. That's our, what do you call that? Theme, thank you. I have trouble with the difficult words. Who will stand in the gap? Is there a gap? Well, yes, there is. In fact, if you do have a handout there, I believe it's right on there. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is a mediator, so there must be a gap. There is a mediator, so there has to be a gap there. If there are two parties that need to get together, there's a gap between those two parties, and therefore there is a mediator, Jesus Christ the righteous, your advocate, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Because He came in the flesh, that just tells me something. That tells me there is definitely a gap. The gap separates sinful man and holy God. Do you... We got some Bible scholars in here. Anybody know, we know like the oldest man in the Bible. Anybody know the longest word in the Bible? Anybody know? It's right there in front of you, 1 Timothy 2:5. It's the word "and." One mediator between God and men. That word that separates God and men, that may be the longest word in the whole Bible. Because the gap between a holy God and sinful men is really an eternal, infinite gap. Any of you guys been to the Grand Canyon before? Anyone been there? Do you remember when you first saw it? You know, when you drive up and you walk out, and the first time you really get a glimpse across that canyon, it's really phenomenal. It's one of those things they say you got to see it. And we went out west and visited some churches out there, and on the way back, we did the 2-hour look at the canyon and then leave, you know, on the way somewhere else. And that first look was amazing. And now I always think about that gap when I think about the gap between God and man. The fact of my sin compared to His holiness. It's about like, you know, I can get back as far as I want and take a running jump across the canyon. You're not going to make it. There was a girl when we went to hike down a little ways, me and Zachary, and there was a girl that decided she was going to jump out onto a ledge. It was a big ledge, Larry. I mean, it was pretty big. And she was looked pretty athletic. She had her running shoes on, everything, and she jumped out there. Down onto this ledge, and she was like, "Take a picture." And somebody was there with her, took a picture, and she was all, "Man, I'm in the canyon, it's great." She was too afraid to jump back. By the time we had walked back up, people had already helped her off. I'm glad that Zachary didn't see it. She had to jump across landed on top the tops of the trees, scraped her body all up, and she had no chance of making it to the other side of the canyon, much less even making that little gap right there. I'm telling you, the gap is wide. And we see a great picture of the gap in Ephesians. If you haven't already turned there, that's going to be our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. There's a tremendous picture of this gap between God and man. Again, we're not here to highlight a certain ministry of the church. We're here to highlight missions and emphasize missions because we are the church. Because that is what we do. We reach the world with the gospel. That is our purpose. So in this chapter, we see an incredible picture. And one of the things that I notice here in Ephesians chapter 2 is, where did the gap come from? And in this passage, we're going to see it's rebellion. It was rebellion that opened the gap between God and man. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We're sinners by nature, verse 3 says. We were by nature the children of wrath. You know, when we first learn that we are sinners, when someone first kind of broached that topic to you and they first told you were a sinner. Maybe it was when you were a child. Maybe it was when you were older like me. When we first hear that, there's a tendency for us to rebel against that thought. There is a nature in us that wants to say, "Yeah, I don't want to listen to you." And so when someone tells you you're a sinner, there's something inside of us that rebels against even the thought of it. Because we've got that sin nature. We know the Word of God says that came because of Adam. I think about when the gap was first formed. Adam and Eve there in the garden, just a simple decision to do what was forbidden. And just like that, an eternal, infinite gap was formed between God and man. The Bible says that God sent Adam out of the garden. I get the idea that Adam didn't want to go, because the next verse there in Genesis says that God drove him out. He was sent out, but I guess maybe he just didn't want to walk out on his own. And so he was driven out of the garden. You ever thought about what it was like for Adam as he was driven by God out of the place of fellowship? I mean, he'd been just right there with him. You know why the story of Adam and Eve always touches us? It's because he's in us. It's because somehow we get the idea deep down that if it had been us, we'd have made the same mistake. That's why that story always rings true with us. It's because we know if it had been us, we'd have done the same. Because we have done the same, haven't we? We've all chosen to sin against God. Imagine what that was like as Adam was driven away from the garden. He looked back to see the cherubim there keeping the way, so he could not go back. At that moment, I guess, geographically, I mean, he was right at the edge of the garden, Brother Larry. Right there. He could almost reach back and touch it, but now it was forbidden. Now he was separated from God. It was rebellion that opened the gap. we're sinners by nature, because in Adam, the Bible says all die. Even though we haven't sinned after the similitude, after the same way that he sinned exactly, yet death has reigned upon all men. And we are dead in our trespasses and sins because of Adam. But we're also sinners by choice, not just by nature. We're sinners by choice. Verse 1 and 2 talks about that we were dead in trespasses and sins. That we walked according to the course of this world. You know, somebody with a fiery temper by nature, some people just have that kind of nature about them, but they can choose to be kind to a little child. Someone that is selfish by nature can volunteer his time at a soup kitchen and give money to charity. You know, your nature doesn't necessarily force you to do something. You know, I can be just kind of selfish by nature, but I will occasionally give up a piece of cheesecake. Not often, but I'll do it. So, in other words, we can go against our nature sometimes. But the truth is, we have all sinned. Even though we had the choice to do right, we have sinned against God. We sin by nature, and we are sinners by choice. There is none of us who will stand before God one day and say, "Well, it wasn't my fault, God." Not a one of us. Not a one of us. We've sinned against God. And the gap, when we talk about this gap between God and man, we're going to look at it some different ways this week. But this morning, this gap, when you measure the gap by our sin, it is infinitely wide. When you measure the gap in terms of our sinful condition, there's an infinite distance between you and a holy God, and you cannot cross. It's as wide, verse 1, as life and death. He said, you're dead in trespasses and sins. And so it's just as far as the distance between death and life is the distance between God and man. Aren't you glad for the Redeemer who closed the gap? The Redeemer who closed the gap. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Closure came at a great cost. At a great cost. Look at verse 15. Well, no, you got to go to verse 13. Chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were so far because of our sin. The gap was infinite, but now we've been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. In his flesh. Closure came at a great cost. It came through the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ. It came by God coming in the flesh. By the sacrifice of his body on the cross. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Closure did not come by instruction. Jesus was not just a good teacher to come and teach us principles for how to get to heaven. It did not come by him just communicating knowledge about God. It did not come by the exertion of his power. It came because he came in the flesh, his human nature. And this can only mean that it was because he sacrificed himself for you, that the gap has been closed. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that gap between God and man has been closed. But it came at a high cost. It came at a high cost because of his flesh. The gap is personal to God. It may not mean that much to us. We may not really care. I mean, we're glad that we're going to heaven. We may not really care that other people are going to hell. But it's not that way with God. It's personal to God. It's personal to him because he's one of the two parties. It's God and man. It's personal to God. He recognizes the importance of his part in this gap between him and mankind. And I know it's personal as well, because he came and stood in the flesh in the gap for you and me. He could have just stayed up there and sent someone else, but he didn't. God sent his Son because he so loved the world. The closure of the eternal gap did not come without the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You agree with that? The gap between God and man was closed because of his suffering for us and his blood that he shed. Is it possible that the gap between those that do not know him today and their salvation, is it possible that that gap could be closed without suffering? Is it possible that it could be closed without sacrifice? When he gave so much for us, sacrificed all, and then he's our example and he's living through us, is it possible that we could close the gap that exists now in the world between men and God? Is it possible that we could do it without sacrifice on our part? Is it possible we could be completely comfortable and have God close the gap and play our part, but be in total comfort, no sacrifice and no suffering? Is that possible? Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the what? Fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said, if I'm going to know him, then I must know the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you in Colossians, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul said, I rejoice that I am joining in those, that there's some afflictions because of my life in Christ. There's some afflictions that remain for me. And I rejoice to suffer in my flesh for his church. Is it possible that we can reach the world without suffering? Without sacrifice? I say it is not possible. It's going to take some sacrifice and some suffering. He closed the gap because he came in the flesh, because he shed his blood, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, it says back in chapter 1. Did Satan think as the nails were driven into the hands of Christ that he was driving a wedge between God and man? Did he think he was driving that wedge further, when in reality the blood that would be shed on that cross would bring us nigh? I love it. Closed the gap forever, made a way for us to be accepted in the family of God, the blood that he shed. Closure also came not just with great cost and great sacrifice, but closure came with great love. With great love. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, we were unlovely. We were dead in sins, and he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He loved the unlovely. He loved us like his own children. I mean, we were sinners dead in sin, and then the great love wherewith he loved us, and then it says he quickened us together with Christ, with his beloved Son. What love that God the Father, the sinned against, we sinned against him. We were at enmity with God, haters of God, and he saw us dead in our sins and loved us, and then quickened us together with his Son. My, what love. That he would, you know, my daughter Abigail played soccer on a team for the first time yesterday. She almost didn't, but we managed to get her in there. She was rebelling against the idea totally. She was scared to death. And we convinced her it was going to be okay. Told her, you won't get hurt. Just go out there. That was her fear. I'm going to get hurt. She had, you know, shin pads up to her, you know, the middle of her thigh. And, you know, she's just tiny. And so she's out there. We get her out there. She's out there about 30 seconds, and a little girl next to her gets hit almost right in the head with a ball, comes out screaming and crying. I'm like, oh boy, please don't let her get hurt. I promise her she wouldn't get hurt. When I was on my way out there, Zachary was sick. It's one of those weeks. Zach's sick, so I had to help with him. And then I got to the game. It was already started, and I came out. Have you ever been? Any of y'all been to a peewee soccer game? Have you been to one where they're doing all the fields at once? It's just teeming with colors, you know, and little packs of kids running around with the ball occasionally spitting out, you know. So I'm walking out. I'm looking for my daughter, you know, and you know what? There were kids everywhere. And none of them meant anything to me. Nothing, 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 until I saw my daughter. That's how God loves. The Father loves the Son. But guess what? He loved us so much that when God sees that field, He sees us all. When He looks out over this church, He loves every one of us. I can't fathom that because I don't love that way. But God, through me, can love that way. I can care about the world. I can love the unlovely. Because Christ is in me. Oh, how He loved us. The gap, when viewed from the cross, is already closed for all who believe. And yet there is still a gap. There is the rejection that sustains the gap. The rejection that sustains the gap. There are people today who have still rejected the offer of eternal life. And many more that haven't heard the name of Christ that we need to go to, bring the gospel, give them that opportunity. And as they reject Christ, that gap is still, because really, in effect, He already died for them. He shed His blood for their salvation. But if they reject Christ, then that gap is maintained. Rejection is rooted in misplaced faith. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. See, faith in yourself is foolish pride. The reason that people don't put their faith in Christ is they're putting their faith in something else. Some people put their faith in themselves, that's foolish pride. Faith in others leads to disappointment. You ever just put your faith in somebody else and been disappointed? That ever happened? Man, when you put your faith in people, you'll be disappointed. The gap created by our sinful condition is the same for every person. I want you to get this. When we look at the gap according to our sinful condition, it is the same for that for Olga in Lithuania. It's the same for Gaddafi in Togo that we prayed for last night. It's the same for those in Algiers. It's the same for those in Guyana, South America. Listen, it's the same. But the solution is also the same for the whole world. And that is faith in Jesus Christ. But now this is a critical thought. You got to listen to me. Measured, however, now if we measure it by sin, the gap is really the same for everyone. We're all the same distance from God. There's no chance without Christ. But when you measure the gap by the opportunity to hear that the sin problem has been bridged and to respond in faith to the mediator, then the gap varies greatly around the globe. That's really why we're here this week. It's really because of that opportunity gap. That's why we're gathered. Why we're talking about missions is because the opportunity gap is not the same around the world. It should be the focus of our church to close that gap, that gap of opportunity. As I told you, half of the world's estimated right now does not have an adequate presentation of the gospel. And it's estimated that 2 billion people don't know the name of Christ. We need some people that used to talk about the Renaissance man, you know, that knew a little bit about everything. What we need is some global Christians that care a little bit about everyone. That not just know a little bit about the world, we know all kinds of nifty facts, but do we care that the world is dying without Christ? We need some global Christians that'll not be local in their thinking. They'll be global. Realize your part and my part in getting the gospel around the world. Now I'm going to give you the reason we must stand in the gap. Lastly, because God has placed us here as ambassadors. Verse 19, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What a privilege now to be fellow citizens, to have our citizenship in heaven, to be part of the family of God. But it is a privilege and it is also a responsibility. We are no longer strangers. It's a difficult thing to be a stranger. I'm glad I'm not a stranger in heaven anymore. I belong there because of what Christ has done for me. We are in the gap. As we look at it for the rest of this week, I want you to understand that God did not, even though the gap of our sin, that's been closed at Calvary. Now we have access to the Father. And yet God did not, it's not that we've crossed the gap to heaven, because we're still here. How many of y'all still here? Okay, see? A lot of you. So we're still here. Well, why are we here? We're still in the, He left us in that gap of opportunity, if you will. He left us here in the gap. So we are in the gap. The question is, who will stand in the gap? You're all in the gap. Question is, are you laying down? Are you sitting? Or are you going to stand, take a stand, do something for God in the gap? God has placed us here as ambassadors, and the reason we must stand in the gap is because there are some that are still afar off. I looked that up. It's interesting. It was in his presentation. Lithuania has the highest male suicide rate in the world. 81.9, about 82 out of every 100,000 people in Lithuania will commit suicide. There's a great need there. You know why? Verse 12, they have no hope. Look at verse 12. This is where we were. You were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's exactly what Olga said in that DVD presentation. She didn't have any hope. She didn't know anything about God. And then Derek Thomas knocked on the door. Man, I just about came off my seat when she was giving her testimony. That is incredible. And the reason I'm excited about it is because I've been praying for Derek Thomas, and I've been giving monthly to our missions program to be part of what Derek's doing over there. And that fruit that abounds to our county, so I'm about, I'm in on that. Man, that was fruit. I just looked at her and thought, I may never get to go and talk to her, Brother Tommy, but I'll see her in heaven. Olga's going to heaven because we gave and we helped and we were a part of it. And Derek went there, knocked on that door, talked to her about Christ, and she is saved. The gap has been closed. But you know what? There was another area there, and they sent somebody out. There was an area that was also without hope, with no opportunity to hear the gospel, and they sent someone out, started a church there. Now the gospel is being preached there. That's the need around the world. We know too much to keep it to ourselves. Are you glad for what Christ has done? And I will never be the same again. If you know Christ, you'll never be the same. Do you want that for someone else? Or is it enough just for you to have that salvation? Is it right for 2 billion people to not hear the name of Christ while we rejoice in it? It is not right. And we need to stand in the gap in our generation and reach this world. It's been said that a missions conference is a business meeting to decide the fate of the heathen. I've heard that statement before. It's like a business meeting to decide the fate of the heathen. So let's do it real quick. So we're closing up here. How many of you would vote and say, I think our church should, we should continue to participate in missions as a church? How many of you would vote, yes, we should do that? Okay, how many of you are not sure? Let me let you in on a secret. We already voted. Did you look at your bulletin? How many people gave, how many families gave last year? Anybody read that part? Let me shout it out. 108? I was so shocked by that number, I was embarrassed and I was humiliated. I'm just being honest with you. I was grieved in my spirit when I saw that number. And I asked Brother Tom, I've asked Pastor Dan, I've asked you guys several times, we've got probably 400 or 500 families, and 100. So here's what it was. We had a vote of about 4-1 against missions last year, and that's just like the facts. I would say if we said we love missions, we would all say amen. How is it possible that we had a vote of 4-1 against missions last year? So we've already voted. So if there was majority rule in this church on missions, we would take the flags down. We'd send the missionaries home. We'd ask for our money back. Not interested. That's where we're at. That's why we have not arrived, brethren, sisters. We're not where we need to be, are we? We can do more. Why is it? How is that possible? Well, it's because the majority either don't understand, don't really know about it. That's what this conference is for. But there's another reason. It's because the minority, we're a silent minority. Those of us that have given faith, we're not talking about it. When was the last time you talked to somebody in the church that didn't really understand what was going on in missions and you explained your burden for the world to them? We've been too silent. All right, one last thought and I'm done. You have a little thing in your outline. There's a big blank there. Would you please write your name in that blank? Write your name in that blank. Is it conceivable that God did not intend to use Bill Dobb to close the gap? You write your name. I'm going to write my name. Write your name in that gap, either mentally or physically. Write it in there. Is it conceivable? Can you possibly wrap your mind around the thought that God did not, He left you, He saved you, left you on this earth to play no part in closing? Is that possible? There's a yes or no right there. I want you to write that in. I want you to think about that statement. Is it possible that God did not intend to use you in any way to reach the world? Yes or no? That's the question. May we pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name.